Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
Doing amazing after a great weekend and excited to talk to our guest.
Absolutely. Our guest today is Hank Garrett. We know him from Car 54, but you've guest starred in so many different projects and so many different things, and a former professional wrestler, which again, hey, we're brethren. Hank, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
My pleasure. Thank you so much. I've got something on my right in front.
Oh, you're okay with that. That'll be taken off. So let's kind of just jump right in specifically, Hank. When you talk about your life and acting, how did pro wrestling start for you? That's an interesting way to start an entertainment career, is pro wrestling.
Well, I started at the Y. I met a guy who was the world champ power lifter. No, an Olympic lifter. And there were a couple of people there that were working out, and I got very interested in watching them. And because I was also a power lifter, at one point I broke the New York State powerlifting record and my knees at the same time. So I started fooling around with the wrestling, and a couple of people said, "Man, you're good. Have you ever thought of doing it professionally?" And the only one that I had met was Gene LaBelle. I saw him perform. He's one of the top in the world in judo and jiu-jitsu. So I stopped. Well, I'll back up even more. When I was 9 years old, I got my nose busted by a gang. I lived on the streets in Harlem.
Oh, wow.
Actually slept in cardboard boxes at times. And standing there, boom, this guy hit me, broke my nose. And shortly thereafter, there was a gentleman from Korea named Min Pai who came to the neighborhood, and he was training kids, hoping that their parents would want to come in and work out martial art-wise. I stayed with Min Pai for 2 years, training Taekwondo, Hapkido. Wound up getting black belts in both. And now I am a grandmaster in martial arts. Taekwondo, Judo, Jiu-Jitsu, Karate, and a number of other areas. But the pro wrestling was intriguing me. And so I try to find someone, and I mentioned meeting this Gene LaBelle. And I said, he also wrestled as Judo Gene. So I said, God, I'd love to get involved in that. Well, he introduced me to a couple of people, managers. And next thing I know, I was wrestling as Hank Daniels, the Minnesota farm boy. That was a name that was given to me. I never saw anything outside of Harlem. You know, I was a street fighter. I became a good street fighter. And in fact, some of the gangs want me to join their group to fight other gangs. And another story. So I got involved in pro wrestling, met some of the most incredible people of my life. One of the first people I worked with was Killer Kowalski.
Oh, wow.
And Gene said to me at one point, he said, "Kowalski's going to get you in a headlock. The only thing is he likes to grind. So what you do is take your knuckle, reach up and get him right behind the ear and just get twisted." I'm wrestling Kowalski. Sure enough, here's the headlock. And I reach up and I get him right behind the ear. And he stopped and said, "Did that damn Gene LaBelle teach you to do that?" He knew immediately where it came from. So, and the people I worked with, amazing. Just amazing. Especially when we went on tour. And you will verify. You know, I'm the baby, the greenhorn.
Yeah.
And they always sent me into a store to buy stuff, and then they take off.
Yep, I remember those days.
So it was a life-changing experience. Mm-hmm. It really was. Met some of the most incredible people in my life. I stopped wrestling when I was doing guest appearances on shows, and they said, you're really starting to look like you're getting beat up. In fact, somebody once approached a friend of mine. He was part of a tag team, and they said, "Well, we know that wrestling is all fixed. You know, you don't get hurt." And he said, "Would you care to see my X-rays?" And they backed off.
Yeah, and at that time, it was a lot more. People didn't know it was a work; it was fixed. So you had to really put on a show for people to know that it was real. And the days of Killer Kowalski, I was on a show when I worked for the WWF doing TV against Crush and Savio Vega, and I met Killer there. But Charlie Fulton was my trainer. So Charlie Fulton. So I know that you broke in. He broke in after that point. But all right, Greg, what's the question for Hank? Now, I was talking to Greg. I said, "Craig, did you ever see Car 54? He said not. He did not see Car 54. But if you look at the laundry list of guest starring appearances Hank's been on, there's been shows you've seen for sure, Greg.
Been on a lot of stuff. You know, Hank, I'm really curious. How did you get from cardboard boxes in Harlem to Hollywood? What was the path to get you the coast?
A couple of people in New York. First of all, I was taken in by a Puerto Rican family. The neighborhood was a Puerto Rican, African American, very few white. At one point, I was the only white kid in the entire area. So I had to turn to be a toughie to save myself, because countless beatings. And I went and did, there was an audition somebody told me about, and it was for a commercial. I said, "Well, I don't think about commercials or acting or so." They submitted me only because of my look. And they said, "Have you ever acted before?" And someone said, "Well, he was a pro wrestler." Well, they had seen me wrestle, and they said, "That's pretty good acting." So I don't know why they mentioned that, because I wasn't a pro at the time. Next thing I know, I'm reading for this part in a commercial, and I got it. And that was the change, because I didn't even know how to get to the studio. I'd been out of the neighborhood. So they actually sent someone to get me. And they picked me up and took me to the studio. And I'm looking at them, "Oh, wow, what am I doing here?" And they said, "All you have is this one line." And next thing I know, I shot that, and I got paid for it, which was astounding. And I suddenly had money. And in fact, I asked if I could get paid in cash, because I didn't have a bank account. So they said, "Yeah, okay, we'll pay you tomorrow." I said, "I have no way of getting back here." They ran out to the bank and they gave me a bag of cash. And they loved what I did. I was just being myself. And next thing I know, they called me for another commercial. And that's how it got started. But I was still living in Harlem.
Wow.
I was taken in by the Puerto Rican family, and I was speaking Spanish and English. And after a while, it became mostly Spanish. In fact, somebody would say something in Spanish and I understood, and I would answer in Spanish, and they were shocked. So in fact, when I went to California, came here in California. I was co-starring with James Earl Jones in the series. And I checked into the hotel. Everything is paid for. And they said, oh, Mr. Garrett, as I checked in, there's a package waiting for you. He said, it's frozen, but here it is. I went to my room and I opened the package and I looked at it. And it was, I'll tell you in Spanish, arroz y habichuela con pasteles. It was rice, beans, and a thing called pasteles. My Puerto Rican mama sent me this package. She cooked it, had it frozen, and mailed it to me. So a little bit of Harlem.
No, yeah, wow. That's that living that, still living that and coming back to you. You know, when you talk about, so you said, so acting was before wrestling, then wrestling came back. So you really, acting is took you off the streets, then wrestling got you known more, and then Car 54. So was that the co-starring with James Earl Jones? Was that Car 54? That was another show.
We had another show, and the show we did, was about he's being a detective and I was his boss. And we were number one. And because we were so strong, they said, we can put you in any time slot and you guys would be the winners. And I was being paid a tremendous amount of money, more money than I'd ever seen in my life. They moved us to Saturday. They took a show that was not doing too well, Foundering, moved us, gave this other show our time slot, put us on Saturday night opposite a show called Heart to Heart, which was the number one show in the world. And we got canceled.
Oh, man.
And I was making thousands a week and was like, oh, God. Am I going back to the cardboard box? So I stayed and I wound up doing guest appearances on so many other shows. Yeah. Show business.
Yeah. And that's when Car 54 happened?
Car 54, yeah. Did that 61, 62. Now, Car 54 was a spoof on the police department. We recently were invited to New York to be guests of the NYPD because of Car 54. Car 54 is their favorite show because it's all misfits that are members of Car 54. And so we became the number one show at the time. And the police department now uses it as their pet. They loved it. They flew us there to New York. We were presented for the entire squad. I got to tell you, at one point I was a cop. I became a cop because I wanted to make a difference on the streets. Couldn't make any difference at all. So now the fact that when they flew us to New York, they took me to the precinct that I worked out of when I was a police officer. And to go in and see all these people and to see the same decorations, the same desk, the same everything that when I was a police officer. And it was exciting and a thrilling and something I shall never forget.
And in the movies, you were known as a hitman a lot, right? Why did they like you being a hitman?
I don't know. Well, I grew up with some kind of noted people. And it's funny, but there was a line when I was working with James. James has this magnificent voice. And I said to him, you go ahead and I'm going to go pick up the car. And they said, cut, Hank? He said, yes. The word is car. It's got an R. And I said, where? Because when I'm from, you know, I'm from New York. This is the way I used to talk over there when I used to be with the guys. Hey, how you doing? Nice. Hey, Hank, what are you doing over there? I said, well, I've got a television series. With who? James Earl Jones. Is he a basketball player or what? So I said, no, he's an actor. Hey, no kidding. But you're an actor. You don't look like that guy. No. Those are the guys I grew up with. So here I am today.
Oh, that's amazing. So you did some movies as well. What was your favorite movie that you acted in?
The one I won the award was 3 Days of the Condor. I played the killer mailman who tried to kill Robert Redford. And I was a CIA assassin. And I wound up winning several awards. In fact, they flew me to Vegas to get a special award, and it's for best fight scene in film ever.
That was in 1975, isn't that correct?
Yes, exactly.
Wow. I mean, is that movie still available? Do you get people to still watch it sometimes?
Absolutely. Yeah, there are people who have it in their collection because of the fight scene.
Wow.
Martial arts and wrestling. Boy, all the things that I learned, I was able to use. And that's what made the fight scene so special. You know, it's not, after all, you block, I block. No, it was all ad lib. And Robert Redford was incredible. In fact, at one point, I go into his apartment. I've got to kill him. And there's a pot of coffee on the stove. So he takes the coffee and throws it at me. He's supposed to get me in the face. Now, we're shooting is a tight close-up of my face getting the coffee. Redford comes out of his dressing room and he sees the scene. And he said, whoa, whoa. He said, he saw the smoke coming out of the coffee pot. And he said to Sidney Pollack, who was the director, Sid, I can't throw Hank in Hank's face. It's hot coffee. And a guy who handled special effects said, oh, it's not hot. It's a chemical causing the smoke. He said, what is it? He says, well, it's something acid diluted with mineral oil. And Redford said, acid? You're going to get acid in Hank's eyes. So the guy said, no, it doesn't burn. See, it stuck his finger in. He says, what happens if you get it in your eyes? Stopped shooting. Everything came to a halt. And they said, Redford walked over to Sydney. I said, Sydney, can I throw the coffee? He said, Bob, you're not even in the shot. It's a tight close-up of Hank's face. He said, but if you insist, Redford calls me over the side, puts his arm around my shoulder and says, Hank, I'm going to hit you waist high with the coffee. All I want you to do is cover your face as though that's where it hit you. Well, later on, they find out I had it gotten in my eyes, it would have blinded me.
Wow.
How do I thank Redford? I break his nose in the fight scene. He slipped and fell forward. As I was coming around, my elbow caught square in the face.
Ah.
And he called me. He says, Hank, wait till you see the fight scene. God, it's the best feat seen in film. I'm serious. And by the way, you broke my nose. I said, by the way, I broke your nose. Oh, God, I'll never work again as long as I live. He said, don't worry about it. He says, when you see the scene, wow. That's how that happened. So it was 3 days of the Condor became a kind of like an outstanding film.
You know, I was looking at some of the people he's co-starred with. Patrick Stewart, Peter Falk, Kathleen Turner, Christopher Lloyd, Al Pacino, Sophia Loren, James Colburn, as we talked about Robert Redford, Faye Dunaway, and James Earl Jones. Greg, that is an unbelievable list of superstars, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible. Incredible. And they were all wonderful people. Do you have any stories like the broken nose with Robert Redford that you care to share?
Well, Sophia, oh my God, in the British West Indies, working with Sophia Jameson. And, I have a scene. Sophia is my boss's girlfriend. He wants to see her. We're in the British West Indies shooting this thing. She's in a gift shop. And I say to her, my boss wants to see you. She said, you tell him to wait. I said, nobody tells him to wait. And I grab her and I twist her arm and I take and I yank her down to the car. Well, there's an actor, I will keep him nameless. He's supposed to rescue Sophia. All he was supposed to do is I put her in the car and she's sitting there and I'm talking down to her. He's supposed to come behind me, take my head, bang it up against the car, rescue her and take off. Well, this gentleman, the door was open. He runs behind me, grabs my hair. All he had to do was put his hand on my head and I would have controlled the hit. But he grabs my hair and bang. And he hits my face against the edge of the door. And he cuts me wide open.
Oh, man.
Down I go. And afterwards, I found out that he did it purposely. For some strange reason, he didn't like me. I had very little to do with him. But I was lying on the ground, and Sophia came running over. Now, my then wife was in a hotel. And she comes over and she sees me lying in Sophia's lap. And Sophia's got a towel and she's blotting the blood. And my wife says, are you comfortable? And I said, well, I make a nice living. And she left, grabbed the next plane back to the States. I didn't see her for the longest time. Oh my God. But Sophia, now, my then wife, we reconcile. We're walking down the street in New York. There's a small hotel in the 70s. I see two guys in suits looking around. I said, bodyguards. Out comes Sophia. Now, I'm standing across the street with my then wife. Sophia runs over. And she says, oh, my darling, how are you? How are you? How's your poor head? And she's hugging me and kissing me. And I look and I hear from the corner, taxi, taxi.
Oh, my God.
Wife got in there. That was it. Next thing I know, I got the papers for divorce.
Oh, man.
But Sophia was an incredible person. Wow, wow, wow.
But that's a great story.
All right, Greg, you have your final question, and it involves a very deep question. I love hearing the answers of the celebrities. Go ahead with your question.
I can't wait. I'm really excited about it. So, Hank, I asked this question for not only for myself, but for anybody who's fortunate enough to watch this interview with you. What do you feel is the most important thing in life you've ever learned?
Trust in God. I'm a great believer. I'm here for a purpose. And my purpose is to treat people the way I want to be treated. I have a lot of angers, a lot of bitterness based on what I had experienced, and it was time to let go. And picture each day as a gift, because it's true. Every day you wake up and you say, thank God I've got another day to be with those people I love. Sound like a preacher.
No.
It's having gone through what I went through as a kid. I was carrying a pistol when I was 12, at a 25 caliber gun. Sammy Davis Jr. got me off the street. And that happened, my mother and father were fruit and vegetable peddlers, push cart. And a customer of theirs was the mayor of Harlem. And my mother was crying to him that I was always in trouble, which was true. And he came to me and he said, your mother wants me to talk to you. In fact, she asked me to take you out. And I said, my mom is putting a hit on me? He said, no, take you out, man. You know, get you away from the street. And I said, oh, okay. And he took me to meet Sammy Davis Jr.
Wow.
Went to the Apollo Theater in Harlem. Went to Sammy's dressing room because he was starring. And he said, sit down, man. So you're a tough guy, right? I said, yeah, I'm a tough guy. He said, uh-huh. He said, tough guys wind up in prison or die. That's your choice. You want to go to prison for the rest of your life or possibly get killed? I said, that's it? He said, the way you're headed, yeah. And sure enough, I had that 25 caliber pistol in my pocket. He got me a job. I was a band boy with an all African-American band. He said, oh, I don't know, I'm not a musician. He said, no, no, you put the music out, the charts, at the end of the gig, collect everything, put it back in its proper order. I said, oh, well, I can do that. And the end of the evening, the show we did, the band leader, a guy named Lucky Millinder, he gave me $50. And I said, he says, you did a good job. Get yourself some new kicks, shoes. My shoes were torn to shreds. I had a big rubber band holding the sole of my shoe on to the rest of the shoe. $15, I went and bought a pair of shoes at Florsheim and gave the $35 to my mom. More money than she had seen all year. And that was a start for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's great to have the brethren of pro wrestling, Hank, together. You were, again, the 60s. I was in the 90s, and we went on to different careers. I went on to teaching and entertainment. You went on into movies and television. But what we learned in wrestling, we'll never forget, because we're able to use it in everyday life and everything we do in performing. Do you have any projects you have going on right now, Hank, that you want to talk about?
Well, we've got a couple of projects going, and it's, I do autograph shows all over the country. And in fact, I got one June 11th, because I do a voice on G.I. Joe. So this is a G.I. Joe convention. But the wonderful thing is, it gives me a chance to contribute money. Oh, excuse me.
Hankster's kids.
Oh, yes. I got, I was just reminded. But one thing is, we've raised over 60,000 for the disabled American veterans. And we've got this going.
Okay.
Want to build a place for kids, get them off the street.
That's great.
I know the streets. And I want to get those kids off, give them a shot at something else in life. So we're starting an organization called Hanks's Kids. And so with the book, we have a book. And the book is From Harlem Hoodlum to Hollywood Heavyweight. And we take our cost and everything else goes to the disabled American veterans and to Hanks's Kids.
That's great. Yeah.
We appreciate it. This is such great information, Hank. Thank you again. Your energy level is amazing. The stories you could tell, wow. And definitely people need to check out the book. It's available on Amazon. Do you have a website as well, Hank, or just is best it's, place to search?
HankGarrett.biz.
Okay.
That way they can get an autographed copy of the book.
All right. We appreciate it, Hank. Thanks again.
Thanks, Hank.
You got my heart.
All right. Okay. That was Celebrity Interviews Live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Guys, take care.